Part 30, Chapter 1. Andrew McAdam and Baron von Roth put down piles of papers and attaché cases on the floor on their side of the table, briefly shook hands with Dries Glotten and Lord Voraz, and sat down. Johnny blinked. McAdam and the Baron were wearing gray suits. They were expensive tweed, and the individual fibers sparkled. But they were gray suits. The four of them sat there at the table for a bit, just looking across it at one another. Johnny was reminded of some gray wolves he had once seen, prowling back and forth, eyes alert, teeth ready, sizing each other up before they plunged into a snarling, slashing fight to the death. And it was a fight to the death. For if McAdam and the Baron lost, that was the end of the people of this planet and all they held dear. He didn't have the least idea what McAdam and the Baron had been doing. And it was with a sinking feeling that he heard McAdam fire the first shot of the battle.
"Are you sure that you gentlemen couldn't give us a little more time? Say, another month?"
Dries showed his double row of teeth as his lips curled back.
"Impossible! You have waited until the last moment. There can be no extension."
"Times are very bad,"
said the Baron.
"There are economic upsets everywhere."
"We know that,"
said Lord Voraz.
"It cannot be used as an excuse. If you were unable to pay your just debts and settle your obligations, you could have said so days ago and spared us this wait. I can't imagine what you were doing."
"I was interrogating abandoned crew members of the departed ships,"
said McAdam.
"It was a bit difficult to find an officer of each race that attacked this planet."
"And they told you there were economic upsets. You might as well sign this quitclaim to the planet now and get it over with."
He pushed a form at Sir Robert, who didn't get a chance to take it. McAdam pushed the form back to the table and let it drop.
"I found that these crewmen did not want to go home. They had been conscripted, actually press-ganged into their services. Some felt that on return they might have to take part in revolutions or civil wars, and did not want to fire on their own people. Some felt that if they went home they would just be discharged and have to join the mobs of unemployed that were starving and sometimes rioting in the streets of many capitals."
"This is nothing new. All this past year there has been unrest. That's why these emissaries here are planning wars of foreign conquest, to take the people's minds off all this. You could have asked me, I would have told you."
"This changes nothing,"
said Dries.
"I advise you to surrender the planet tamely, for any of these emissaries would like nothing better than to buy this planet and mount a military expedition to wrest it from you. The ships that were up there were nothing compared to what could be sent against you. So if you will just..."
The Baron fixed him with a bayonet stare. He said,
"Having collected all the data available locally, we went to see for ourselves."
Johnny came alert. Ah, so that's what all that firing was about. This pair had been traveling all over the place. He'd noticed faint air mask marks on their jaws. Had they been doing something else than just traveling?
"There is economic chaos,"
said the Baron.
"When intergalactic mining companies ceased to deliver metals, the scarcity caused their prices to soar. Factories are closed. People are out of work and rioting. To distract them, the governments are planning wars that are not popular. To get metals to build weapons, they are even commandeering people's cars and the pots and pans of housewives."
Dries shrugged.
"This is not news, and it is totally off the subject of your unpaid balance. Does the Earth Emissary sign this, or do we resort..."
He let the threat hang. The air seemed charged with electricity for a moment. The Baron's pale gray eyes bored into Dries Glotten.
"You are in severe trouble, Your Excellency."
The branch manager shrugged.
internal concerns of the bank have no bearing on your paying up as you are obligated to do.
Baron von Roth turned to Sir Robert.
His Excellency here committed his sector branch bank to some very unwise personal loans to the high executives on the cycloplanets Torfoot, Untan, in the Batterfor system, and some even bigger personal loans to the cycloregion governors of 16 cyclo-owned planets in 4 nearby star systems. Those loans were secured by holdings in real estate on Cyclo itself.
How did you find that out?
Snapped Dries.
It is confidential bank information.
A disgruntled employee you sacked. The real estate on Cyclo went up in smoke, and the debtors are dead. An unwise bank risk. Cyclos were renowned for bad faith.
The depositors could bring pressure on the bank,
said Voraz, defending his branch manager.
But that does not change your loan.
Indeed, they could bring pressure. The basic profit income of the Galactic Bank came from handling fund transfers for cycloplanets. Not from loans, but from the high percent charged by the bank for handling their funds. And with those Regency planet transfers shut off, Your Excellency, your Regency banks had to dismiss their staffs and close their doors. The senior branch bank in Baylor, your own personal office, fired nearly everyone. So that, Sir Robert,
continued the Baron,
is why you are being pressured. Dries figured the only route he had out of going bankrupt was to repossess Earth. It's the only planet in any universe that Intergalactic Mining Company owed any money on. He thought if he could auction this planet off, if only for a little cash, he could prevent total insolvency.
Pointing to the mud on someone's fins,
said Dries,
does not improve your own swimming. You had better sign over, or you yourself will drown.
This rehearsal of the last year's troubles was making him edgy.
Pay up, and pay up now!
He picked up the form and rattled it in front of Sir Robert. It crackled like a machine gun. McAdam reached over and pushed Dries' arm gently back down to the table.
We'll come back to that later.
The small gray man trembled. He could never remember being so upset before. It had been a very terrible year. What were these fellows up to? If they didn't have the money, why were they delaying? He sat back. Never mind. The end would be the same. Let them ramble.
Now, let's take up the main bank in the Greedities. We went there, right to Universe One. The capital city, Snarch, was damaged by the transshipment recoil, and so were the capitals of the other two Selagi planets. The whole top floors of the bank buildings were very badly damaged.
They can be rebuilt,
said Lord Voraz.
The blasts knocked down the huge galactic bank signs, the ones you can see from all over the cities in each capital, and they're still hanging there, shattered. You can see what they said, but that's about all.
They can be hung up again,
said Lord Voraz smoothly.
But for a whole year,
the Baron bored in like a mine drill.
You haven't done it! Now, all three Selagi planets depended upon banking. Those banks affected millions and millions of people. When you lost teleportation, you were thereafter unable to reach the other 15 universes, space travel or no space travel. You have millions of Selagis stranded in branch banks all over those universes. Banks as broke as His Excellency's that you can't bring home. Families and relatives don't think they'll ever see their fathers or brothers or sons again. There are mobs rioting outside your bank doors, rioting very loudly and howling for blood.
Lord Voraz shrugged.
There are strong bank guards.
And how will you pay them? Your bank income did not really come from loans, but from Cyclo fund transfers. The instant Cyclo and Intergalactic Mining were blown up, there was no further fund flow. You started to go broke, and you began to lay off employees. You know from Dries here that many of your branch banks have had to close their doors.
We have gone through economic difficulties before,
said Lord Voraz. The Baron leaned closer to him.
But not as bad as this one, Lord Voraz. The cyclos were hated bitterly by peoples everywhere. When your Lord Lunga, whose face you carry on your bills, made a deal with the cyclos a couple of 100,000 years ago to handle all their finances, he refused to let any cyclo sit on the bank's board of directors.
It would have hurt the bank's reputation. A sensible move. People would have claimed it was a cyclo bank.
Ah, yes! But the cyclos then insisted that forever thereafter, the bank's reserves would be kept in vaults on cyclo. They're gone!
Lord Voraz dropped his heavy eyelids for a moment. He passed his hand across his face. Then he rallied.
It is true. This still does not alter the fact that you are a debtor.
It certainly does. You're insolvent. And if you don't find assets to back you fast, you will go under.
All right. But this just proves the fact that we must repossess this planet.
This one planet won't save you, said McAdam.
Why?
Said the Baron smoothly.
Don't you just grab some old cyclo mining planets or regency planets? There are over 200,000 of them lying about.
Oh, here now,
said Lord Voraz, horrified.
It is quite one thing to run down our credit and expose our troubles. But it is an entirely different thing to suggest the bank would ever engage upon piratical seizures of things to which it has no title.
Goodness!
Said Dries, shocked.
Those planets were all properly paid for. You simply can't engage in theft.
Their titles would be in dispute. It would open up the bank to wars, and the bank is not a military organization. Anybody who touched those planets would wind up in court. No title to them. I must say, you know very little about intergalactic law governing nations.
Oh, said McAdam, I think we do. Have you ever read the original Cyclo-Imperial Royal Charter of the Intergalactic Mining Company?
Exhaustively. You can't do business with a company that doesn't file its charter. It was granted 302,961 years ago by King Dith of Cyclo. Why, there's a copy of it, or was, on the wall of every intergalactic mining central compound, required by law. I have read...
The Baron threw a copy of it on the table.
You should read the fine print.
He turned the copy around so Voraz could read it, though Voraz didn't bother to, knowing it almost by heart.
Note this clause here. Number 109. In the absence of a director or directors, the head of a planet owned by the said intergalactic mining company shall have the power to make resolutions, and his resolutions shall be binding.
Lord Voraz shrugged.
Of course. They had only one additional planet then, and the head of it was a royal prince. The directors at that time couldn't be bothered with business. I don't see.
But it is a valid clause.
Right. But you are just delaying.
Now take this next clause. Number 110. In time of emergency and or threat to the company, and especially at a time of disaster, the head of a planet may dispose of company property. Note that it is not further limited nor qualified.
Why should it be?
Demanded Voraz.
It was the same royal prince. He wouldn't take the job away from home otherwise. He was afraid of communication cutoffs or palace revolutions. He could have been left out there holding a claw full of company bills. It was Prince Sko.
But you agree that these are valid clauses.
When do I get to repossess this planet?
Said Dries wearily.
Nothing in that charter will permit you to wriggle out of paying 40 trillion credits.
Lord Voraz corrected him.
40,960,217,605,216 galactic credits.
So, There's nothing inaccurate in this royal charter,
persisted the Baron.
Of course not,
said Lord Voraz.
Baron Von Roth and Andrew McAdam looked at each other and laughed, startling the other two. McAdam reached down into the papers beside his chair and drew up a thick pack of documents.
This was fully signed and witnessed 11 months after the destruction of the planet Cyclo.
He threw down the stack, and it landed like a cannon shot. It was all embossed with seals and glaring with huge official red ribbons and scarlet and gold discs. It was the Turl contract. It sold in full the entirety of Intergalactic Mining Company, all its equipment, assets, planets, and accounts. McAdam plopped another document on top of it.
Here is the attest by the last planet head of the company that this is a true and valid contract, and it adds his total conveyance of the company. It was signed just a few days ago.
Another paper was slapped down on top.
And here is the receipt. And it says, paid in full.
Drees and Lord Voraz stared, open-mouthed. They had never been that startled before in their whole eventful lives. Seconds went by. Then, as one, they seized upon the pile and began to go through it. They read it. They looked for holes in it. Finally, Lord Voraz said in awe,
it's valid, all right. I even see that it was assigned by the legal government of this planet to the Earth Planetary Bank in payment for loans. Quite regular. Stand up in any court.
But Drees shook his head.
To be legal and for it to be of any use to you in preventing the repossession, it would have to be recorded and put on file in the Hall of Legality on Snarch.
Oh, but it is. It is,
said the Baron sweetly. And he drew the file copy of the Hall of Legality form from his pocket and threw it down.
Fully recorded just 3 days ago. In fact, it was the first thing I did when I got through the mobs.
Drees had gotten over his shock.
It may give you planets and equipment. It might even give you collateral to borrow money on. However, the bank would take time to make the loan, and we wouldn't lend on top of an unpaid loan. The document simply proves that now you really owe the debt. I will have to demand instant cash.
We'll come back to that. Lord Voraz, how much would you say the Galactic Bank was worth? You know, assets and liabilities, as per your last balance sheet.
Voraz bristled.
We are under no obligation to show our bank balance sheets, particularly in the middle of collecting a debt from a debtor.
You do have a copy of one, as of 2 weeks ago.
Voraz almost choked.
Have you been rifling my hamper?
Ach, God, no. No reason to. I was told you had one. In any event, here is a current copy from your accounts office.
He pulled the immense, closely tabulated machine copy from his pile of papers and tossed it on the table.
Counting all buildings, real estate owned, and accounts actually collectible, and subtracting bills owed, taxes yet to be paid and all that, it seems to come to roughly 1 quadrillion credits.
They had no right to give this out. But I admit it is correct. Roughly 1 quadrillion.
Providing we overlook the fact that you are about to go broke.
The bank would liquidate for that,
snapped Voraz.
If you could get to the branches in other universes, which you can't.
The Baron waved a big hand airily.
But we are in a generous mood, aren't we, Andrew?
He smiled at Johnny.
Aren't we?
Johnny had his eyes riveted on the scene. It was like watching a bullfight.
Our two friends here,
said McAdam, indicating the small gray men,
don't seem to be very generous.
But we'll be big,
said the Baron.
Voraz, you desperately need somebody to back you. You need visible assets. Without them, you will fold, right?
Voraz looked at him, glaring. Then he hung his head.
True.
McAdam said,
so we're willing to bail you out. Right, Johnny?
Johnny shrugged. Let them go ahead. There was going to be more to this fight. Foraz looked from McAdam to the Baron very watchfully. The Baron said,
"So the Earth Planetary Bank is offering to buy 2/3 of the Galactic Bank."
"What?"
cried Foraz.
"That's a controlling interest. You would control the whole vast empire of the Galactic Bank."
He thought about it for a moment.
"And with what?"
The Baron smiled.
"We will buy it with 2/3 of a quadrillion credits worth of planets."
He drew another sheet from the papers beside him.
"Pending further evaluation, a planet is worth a minimum of 60 trillion credits.
Foraz said,
"To be honest, most are worth considerably more."
The Baron said,
"You'd have assets then. You could back your currency with reserves which you don't now have. The Cyclos never let you own planets, but you can now. We will turn over 11 planets that are worth 60 trillion credits for the ownership of 2/3 of the Galactic Bank, all its assets, debts, everything."
Lord Foraz was wavering, but he had not said yes.
"Well..."
McAdam leaned back easily.
"And we will put 199,989 planets and all company assets into a trust to be managed by the Galactic Bank. That gives you back your fund transfer profits. That lets you lease out mining rights. That surely saves your bank."
"Wait,"
said Lord Foraz. And they thought he was going to turn it down.
"I must be honest with you. You took your list of planets from the intergalactic coordinate firing table. It does not include the mine reserve planets. To push off all the planets it could on intergalactic and to bleed the company, there was an imperial decree that Intergalactic Mining Company had to own 5 planets for every one it actively mined. There is a list of 1,000,000 additional planets recorded in the Hall of Legality, with their coordinates unexploited by Intergalactic. Also, I am afraid Drees never gave you the actual purchase contract for this planet. You keep speaking of it in the singular. It includes 9 other planets in this system and all moons, mentioned in passing because they are deemed worthless. There are also suns and nebulae and clusters. There is obviously an awful lot of intergalactic property you don't know about. Would you leave it up to us to ferret it out and include that in the bank-managed trust also?"
McAdam smiled.
"Seem all right to you, Baron? Find any flaws in that, Johnny?"
Johnny thought about it. There was another situation here they were evidently overlooking. But he saw nothing wrong with what the Earth Bank was doing. With a hand outstretched to Lord Foraz, McAdam said,
"We agree."
Foraz had made his point. He started to reach for the hand, and then he drew back.
"Such a deal has to be ratified by a Galactic Bank board meeting."
The Baron laughed.
"Good. Let's hold one. They can be convened anywhere in 16 universes, according to your charter."
Wait. There are 12 other board members, rich, influential Salachis, who are..."
"Scared to death,"
the Baron finished for him.
"The state of the bank and the riots made them believe that they would lose all their personal property and fortunes if the bank went under. So they thought this was a great offer."
Foraz gaped.
"But they can't hold a board meeting behind my back."
"Oh, they didn't. They gave me all their proxies, and these delegate to me the right to place their votes."
He reached down and threw another pack of documents on the table.
"There they are."
Lord Foraz stared at them. He recognized the personal seals. They had even been filed at the Hall of Legality.
"So, as chairman, would you please convene a board meeting of the Galactic Bank at once and move that the Earth Planetary Bank buy 2/3 of the Galactic Bank?"
"It will have to be a typed resolution. I do hereby convene the meeting. I even have my seals, but..."
"Here's the resolution. All typed. I'm awfully glad you're convening the meeting. for it saves the trouble of going back to Snotch and getting you fired.
Voraz laughed suddenly.
You are a pair of hard rock eels. That was typed by my own secretary. That's her initial.
Right, right. A charming girl. She was trying to save your and her jobs. Now, just sign there as chairman of the board and president.
Wait,
said Voraz, suddenly sober and worried.
This is all very well, but there are three things that could ruin this whole deal and all of us.
Drees interjected.
The first is, how do I get my money, cash, right now for the mortgage here?
Oh, that,
said McAdam. He scooped up a huge sheet of paper, which unfolded yards long.
This is the Intergalactic Mining Money Transfer Summary from your bank. It says that on day 92 of last year, there were certain intergalactic funds in process of transfer. They were given over to the bank for further relay, but the bank, of course, was thereafter unable to relay them. Payments for metals, salaries, they're all listed here. They are still in your bank. It's all intergalactic money. When we were in Snotch, we started an account for the Earth Planetary Bank. Let's see, the total of received and unrelayed funds from 200,000 planets for their past month was 209,438,971,438,643 credits. That's our money. Just subtract the mortgage from it, and it still leaves us about 168 trillion.
McAdam rummaged around in his pile of papers.
Here's our letter of authorization, and here is the receipt for you to sign, Drees.
The small gray man was sitting there, speechless. He was trying to realize he was solvent. He had not thought to recover more than 10 trillion in a forced sale. He sat up and grabbed a pen to sign the receipt. Lord Voraz stopped his hand.
That's all very well,
he said in a worried voice.
But there are two other matters.
He turned to Johnny.
Can you forgive us for trying to treat you as a hired hand, Sir Lord Johnny? It is quite true that we cannot operate at all without transshipment rigs and consoles. We are cut off. We used to ship all bank business on the cyclo rigs, using our own bank boxes. They charged us heavily, but to deliver a dispatch by spaceship can cost 50,000 credits and takes ages. Are you going to help us in this?
That's all Johnny's. We at the bank don't own any part of it. Johnny, we can make you a loan at low interest and help you set up a manufacturing plant, a separate company that you own. How about it?